Hello, and welcome to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, where you'll hear advice from industry leaders on how to protect your people and business. I'm Peter Steinfeld. It's a new year, and that means taking a closer look at the trends and global developments shaping organizational risk. There's no one better to guide us through it than my colleague, Sarah Prattley, Senior Vice President of Global Intelligence at Alert Media. Sarah's been a regular guest on the show in the past, and today she's back to unpack the key findings from Alert Media's 2026 Threat Outlook Report, including the leading threats her team is tracking and what organizations can do to stay prepared for the year ahead. Here's our conversation. Hello, Sarah. Thank you for being here today.
Great to be here, Peter, especially on this topic. Really looking forward to diving in.
Awesome. Well, 2025 was a very busy year across nearly every domain, be it political, environmental, even digital. What stood out most to you and your global intelligence team as you tracked all those global risks out there and a lot of the different emerging threats?
I mean, you said it. It was a busy year. There were definitely a lot of defining moments in a lot of the categories you mentioned, right? We started off the year with a car ramming in New Orleans. We had the Southern California wildfires. We had this incredibly devastating earthquake across Asia, kind of pinnacle mid-year with the Portugal and Spain blackouts. And then we dive into the end of the year. We've got so many different targeted shootings, demonstration events. So the year was chock full across all of the categories. Excited to always say that my team continues to rise to the occasion. They cover and really help support our customers in all of these areas. Really, for us, it's important to continue to evolve with these events, evolve with the way that we're bringing them to our customers with context and analysis. When I look back at the year, my team, we think about a lot of data. Data drives so much of what we do, not only in this environment, but across so many different businesses. When we look at our data from 2025, we actually alerted our customers to more than 150,000 different events happening around the globe.
Wow.
So just think about that, right? The crazy, intense number of events that our customers are having to manage and deal with. Hopefully, obviously, with that great support from our team. But that's also a big increase for us. It was 17% higher than we saw in 2024. And this is something we continue to drive forward with. So that's definitely something we're thinking about as we get into 2026.
Yeah, the sheer volume of information that you have to process is just stunning.
Absolutely.
Well, before we dig into the data, how would you describe the overall threat environment as we head into 2026?
I mean, I feel like we do such a great job with this report every year. I know how much value it provides to our customers and people across the security, business continuity, and really risk resiliency, employee safety landscape. Everybody can really get something out of it. There's so many risks we could focus on. We really tried to narrow it to the five key areas where we think businesses need to have that premium focus throughout 2026. And as we would reflect probably very often into the future months past 2026, even years past 2026. And the five things we really focused on this year were, number one, the information battleground. More noise, more information than ever. This is something we all perpetuate, but also other things going on in the world around us, more bots than ever. Also the advancements in artificial intelligence, that too perpetuating a lot of the creation of and sharing of fake content. So that was really the first thing that we dive into in the report. The second thing we're really focused on is global political volatility, particularly with ongoing conflicts. There are several. Also the uncertainty over those conflicts and any resolutions, if they hold, if we get new resolutions, and then also just shifting global alliances, right? There's a lot to dig into and say about that as well. Number three, demonstrations and civil unrest. This is something that's really hit the report every year for the past several years, and with good reason. We continue to see the complexity of this demonstration and activism environment, especially as it pertains to keeping businesses running as smoothly as possible, as well as keeping employees around those safe. The fourth thing we focus on is climate and extreme weather. We have a great team of meteorologists who really not only dive into forecasting, but trends. So there's some really significant takeaways there. And then lastly, emerging tech disruptions, right? How could we round out the list without really focusing on those tech disruptions? The rapid advancements in AI, as I mentioned before, the expanding tech ecosystem, always presenting so many different challenges as well as opportunities as we look at the risk landscape and how we're managing different threats and also responding to those. One other thing that I'll note, really one common thread between a lot of these different topics is artificial intelligence, especially when it comes to synthetic information, right? Deep fakes, people using AI to write posts, create fake voice videos, transform data and things of that nature. So that's certainly something we're pulling on a lot when we think about the threat landscape in 2026 as well.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start there. How's all this synthetic information shaping the current threat environment for organizations?
Yeah, really simply stated, it's making things more complicated and confusing, not only to figure out what exactly is happening, but also to respond to those events that are happening. There's some great data in the report I'm just going to draw directly from because I think it's really important to highlight. I mentioned bots a second ago. Bots actually account for 51% of global web traffic. I know we find a ton of complexity in this with collection. I imagine most people are finding the same complexity as well. Also, AI-driven attacks, they're surging. That's not hard to imagine. 16.7% up year over year. Another stat here reaching 36,000 credential scans per second.
Oh.
So just imagine that. That's per second. Just an amazing and really disturbing number as we think about that as well. Another thing, deepfake-enabled fraud costs to organizations, over $200 million in just one quarter of 2025. So just a lot to really wrap our heads around as we think about not only the number of events, but also that cost to businesses and how we can try and mitigate those risks going forward as we focus here. All of these obviously also creating what we would call the crisis of trust. So not being able to trust the information that you're seeing, also delaying your ability to trust the information that you should be trusting. So again, that crisis of trust is wound throughout a lot of this as well.
Yeah, it seems like when someone receives information now, they're not really willing to act on it right away because they're like, fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So they just resist and they investigate further and then that slows down their ability to react and that's just not good.
Absolutely. We're having to go to greater lengths to make sure the information is true and real, things that we should be doing, but that's delaying our ability to understand that truth and then respond to it for the business.
Well, you also mentioned political instability, and that risk has become just a consistent and common concern in recent years. What kind of challenges are organizations facing on that front as we move through 2026?
Yeah, tremendous challenges here. Three quarters of business leaders said that policy uncertainty disrupted their planning in 2025. So a lot of pivoting that businesses are having to do in this specific area, and it's really a global phenomenon here. We think about the United States, obviously a big driver. We think about the shifting trade relationships and tariffs, a lot of those perpetuated by the United States in 2025, expected beyond, but also the U.S. withdrawing from things like UNESCO, the World Health Organization, UNHRC. Beyond that, Europe, I feel like with Europe, we really need to highlight what's happening on the borders, the reintroduction of temporary internal border controls across multiple UE countries. It means it's harder for people to obviously transit across border lines, but also the transfer of goods, right? So that's something to take into account and consideration as well. And then the last thing I would note here is just the increase in gray zone attacks targeting critical infrastructure. We remember all of the undersea cables that have been cut and obviously the vulnerability there as well as we move forward into the future. And when we think about political instability as well, it impacts everything. It impacts our offices that we have in these locations. It impacts our people that we have in these locations and regions. It impacts the travelers that we have going through these regions. And it impacts our vendors that are in these areas, as well as our supply chains, again, the transit of goods. So it really is very full-fledged there. It's impacting basically everything that we're working to protect and keep up and running as a business.
We've also seen a lot of, as you mentioned before, widespread demonstrations and protests over the past few years. It's not just in the past year. It seems to have really spun up since COVID. So what trends are your team tracking when it comes to all this unrest and mobilization that you're seeing out there?
Yeah, so our strategic intelligence team has a very specific focus here. They track activism globally. They're tracking the different groups, the different campaigns, and they're really helping our customers to understand these things ahead of time as is much needed in the space. Tens of thousands of events that we're seeing across the globe every year. When we think about the trends, I would say trend number one, the numbers are going up. We're seeing more and more activism, more demonstrations, more protests happening in the world around us and for so many different reasons. The second trend, which I think was really highlighted across 2025 in a few different examples, is the multi-location events, right? We have groups that are not only hosting a demonstration or a few demonstrations, they're calling for demonstrations across multiple cities. And it's not just a few, it's dozens, it's hundreds, it's sometimes more than hundreds of cities that they're organizing these campaigns in, right? That creates a lot of complexity. We saw this with the No Kings demonstrations, which haven't happened once, but twice and time again, with millions of attendees in multiple cities, again, not just in the US, but globally. We've seen this with pro-Palestinian demonstrations across the last several years. We've seen this with farmers protests. We're seeing it with Gen Z groups across Asia, across Latin America. So that's certainly something that we're seeing trending that we expect to continue to drive forward as we plan for 2026. And then the last thing I would mention is a trend and something that I think goes maybe underreported or maybe just undernoticed when we think about demonstration activity is car ramming incidents related to demonstrations. We actually saw 14 different significant events across 2025 related to this. And I think it's important to highlight because it's something we should all be considering from a business continuity perspective, especially keeping our employees safe who might be in these areas.
Do you find in the data that you're investigating that the organizers are getting savvier about what they do to make it harder to figure it out ahead of time? Or is it just the volume is going up so tremendously, it makes it difficult to track?
I think it's more the latter. I think it's, you know, the volume, the intensity of that volume. I think most organizing groups are very much looking for attendance, right? So they're pretty out there on different platforms promoting these events and trying to gain that activism and activity to really promote how people are feeling around these different topics.
Extreme weather and climate-related disruptions continue to dominate a lot of the headlines out there. How are those risks evolving for businesses this year?
Yeah, as one would imagine, as we continue to see headlines, the number of severe weather events, the number of natural disasters is continuing to be on the rise. Obviously, the intensity of those events as well. I talk to our meteorologists all the time. They're really great at forecasting and doing impact assessments. But one of the other things that we really rely on them for is helping us to understand the trends so we can bring that to this community, to our customers as well, so that people can really be planning in the right ways. I would say as we look across this landscape, there's several different things that they would highlight. Number one, heat. 2026 is expected to be the hottest year on record. Again, we say this every year, right? When is this going to stop? Heat obviously has a lot of implications when we think about our workforce, whether it's outdoor employees, when we think about remote employees in different environments. But when we think about heat, it's also important to think about infrastructure and the impact that heat is having on the infrastructure around us and will continue to have on the aging infrastructure that we all depend on very much for life and for business that we're conducting in different areas. The other thing that we talk a lot about right now, and we actually talked quite a bit about in the last few years, is flooding, right? Tying back to heat, we have a lot of water in the atmosphere. The more that that water collects, the more intense we're seeing these flooding events. This has really been something that's impacted countries, regions across the globe. We think about Pakistan, we think about Nigeria, we think about South Africa, hundreds of people dead across significant flooding events in these areas. And then the last thing, again, it attaches back to heat is wildfire activity. Something that we've continued to keep a robust eye on and with all the right kind of motivations there and things directing us. We see Canada in particular, 2025, the second most devastating wildfire season on record. Devastating, obviously, for all of those communities and for the businesses that support and work through those communities. We see Portugal and Spain, again, record-breaking numbers in 2025, 4 times and 5 times more wildfire activity than usual. The Southern California wildfires earlier, you know, in 2025 that really devastated communities that are still trying to recover a year plus on from these events. So those are really the areas that they're focusing on from a forecasting perspective when it comes to trends. The other thing that I think is important to mention when we think about severe weather and natural disasters is just a lot of what we've seen with communication and alerting infrastructure and a lot of criticism, rightfully so, on different tools and capabilities either being used or not being used in different areas. We experienced this during the Texas floods in July of last year, but we've also seen this not many months before that in Valencia, Spain, a 13 plus hour gap in their alerting system. In Estonia, they actually had tested their emergency platform and 25% of it failed. So if we're not keeping an eye on this as businesses, this is certainly something we should be keeping an eye on as we go forward in the communities that we serve and for our businesses, right? There's a lot of attachment there and there should be a lot of focus on that as we move further into 2026 and beyond.
Absolutely. And it seems like there's just obviously way more people on the planet than there ever have been. And a lot of those people are living in these disaster prone areas and they're being affected by things that 100 years ago, you know, there were no people there. Does that change how your team covers things, maybe from a general analyst to a meteorologist?
Yeah, I mean, we follow the data for sure. The New York Times has had some great imaging and data that they've published in recent years that really proves that exact point. People are moving to more disaster-prone areas. When we look at just the United States, a lot of people are moving to Florida. A lot of people are moving to Texas, right? Two states that if you're on those coastal regions, you're going to experience more from the hurricane and tropic seasons. We're seeing people move more towards wildfire-prone areas as well. So when we think about it as a team, we're not only looking at the trends in these events, but also the trend in population, because that drives a lot of our alerting as well, the impact to people and personnel that are in these areas.
Well, emerging technology is another area where risk and opportunity often collide. What are some of the significant developments your team is watching in that area?
I think one of the things I'd like to cap here is emerging technology can be such an amazing thing, right? My team benefits from this all day long. All the different tools and techniques to collect information, to get valuable information to our customers more quickly. But as we think about the risk landscape, obviously emerging technologies present a lot of challenges for the businesses that we support across these different spaces. I think there's a few common themes here, right? Artificial intelligence and the impact on infrastructure, right? We like to talk about AI, but when we think about AI, we also need to think about the infrastructure impacts. There are so many more data centers that are being brought online right now as AI continues to evolve and the value is continued to be seen by all these organizations. We're going to see more data centers brought online. And what does that mean? There's more energy consumption and more of a push on the energy supply in these areas. We're already seeing those impacts in certain areas in certain states. The other thing we need to think about here too is water. These facilities need water to cool the facilities and keep things up and running smoothly. So there's definitely impacts from an infrastructure perspective that I think are important to think about as they interlink with technology. Cyber is a huge one. Ransomware in particular, as we think about cyber. Ransomware and extortion attacks are up 45% year over year, and that's just disclosed events. So think about the things that are going unreported or underreported at this point. Those numbers really continuing to drive conversations. Cyber warfare, that's a popular topic. I was at a lot of conferences late in 2025. There was a lot of conversation around this, as well as hybrid warfare, and for good reason. 87% of IT leaders are actually concerned that this will impact their organization. They're in good company. It will impact organizations, and at a tremendous level, it's something we need to be preparing for. And then another big one, quantum computing. Again, I think this goes a little bit maybe under noticed by organizations, but a data point here that I think is important. It's concerning that only 5% of organizations have a plan in place related to this, despite more than half of professionals believing that current encryption methods will fail at some point. So a word to the wise there as we think about that data and maybe being better than that data in the future months. And just to put a kind of fine point on this as well, I think a lot of these things that we're talking about also really reinforce the fact that there is this convergence of physical and digital threats. And that's something that we will continue to see play out in the months and years to come.
Well, as if all those major themes are not enough to contend with, what are some of the under-the-radar risks that leaders should be paying attention to this year?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, obviously, we only have so much space to work with. So we really focused on five things that we thought that business leaders really need to be the most focused on. There is so much more. There are hundreds, if not more, things that we all need to be focused on in the threat landscape. I would say some of the things that are a little bit more under the radar would be specific to the dark web marketplace, and just how much activity is happening there that can really be threatening to businesses. It nearly doubled the number of marketplace listings in Q2 of last year. So that should obviously, I think, be a driver and a pointer for a lot of conversations for businesses who may see their data, information, and goods kind of displayed in that place, as well as people obviously trying to hire folks, bad actors in that space as well. The use of semi-closed platforms, that's the space between open and dark web, systems like Telegram, platforms like Discord, right? These are spaces that we're seeing criminal and extremist groups using more and more over time. That can be to organize criminal activities. It can be for that demonstration activity. So I think that's another area that we should all be focused as well and is maybe a little bit under the radar too. Also, targeted threats against executives. We spent a lot of 2025, for all the right reasons, talking about executive protection. We saw a lot of targeted attacks. We see a lot of unfortunate data when we think about the targeting of CEOs, as well as the targeting of their families. So that should certainly be a point of focus in 2026 and beyond as well. There is certainly a very good reason why a lot of security teams are adding or enhancing their executive protection functionality. And then the last one I would mention, and this is something we've highlighted in the past before, is just drones as a threat to businesses, public spaces, and campuses. Again, kind of drawing from the conferences that I attended at the end of 2025, a lot of the industry space and a lot of conversations are happening around drones. And again, for all the right reasons, we're seeing a lot of advancements in technology here, and I'm happy to see that people are taking notice from that business continuity and physical security perspective.
A lot of these risks you talk about seem to be very interconnected. So what advice would you give to leaders trying to make decisions amid all the uncertainty?
Yeah, we did a great job in the report really identifying 7 strategic areas that people can really draw from in their planning and maybe even just kind of rethinking of continuity and security, right? Some things may feel like, oh yeah, I've got that in place or I've thought about that before. But I think it's a really good opportunity to kind of go through a checklist and think about like, where is my team with this? How much planning have we done? Are we thinking about this? Should we be thinking about this? So when we think about those 7 key strategies, the first one was standing up verification ladders, right? There's a lot of different information in the world that we live in. How do we marry our confidence and intelligence with our alignment with emergency communications so that we understand the information that's coming to us, our level of confidence in that, and are able to get information and contextualize information to our audiences, whether those are stakeholders, whether those are employees, as quickly as possible. The second thing we talk about is really broadening your data collection footprint. We all love open source intelligence. It's definitely a ripe area for us to garner a ton of information about what's happening, potential threats against our business in the world around us. But I would say we need to kind of deepen that approach as well, right? There is fringe social media platforms that we should all be taking note of. There's the dark web that we should all be taking note of. There's alternative channels, right? There's so much more there that I think that we as security and business continuity professionals really need to be paying attention to when we think about the collection and the world around us. The third thing is just mapping multi-city replication threats. I think this is really important as we draw back to demonstration activity and we think about those multi-location events. It's just really helpful to think about the planning that we have in place around those as it pertains to employees, as it pertains to travelers, as it pertains to supply chain as well. Hardening identity and finance workflows was the 4th strategy. So thinking about this specifically around credentials, around access financials, around sensitive information, really training is obviously going to be key in this area. And I think that's a good focal point for any and all teams is that training. Number 5, creating a border friction playbook. I talked about this earlier specific to Europe, right? A lot of things are happening with border regulations. And if we're not keeping an eye on this and we don't have a plan in place for the movement of people and the movement of goods being disrupted, we're behind the ball there. So definitely a good strategy to talk about with your teams and to put in place in 2026. And again, just beyond a great practice there. Number 6, really stress testing crisis communications with misinformation. I think this is such a valuable opportunity for tabletops, for scenario exercises. Thinking about misinformation is really that thing that can really attack your organization in different ways, shapes, and forms. And then lastly, building resilience into critical dependencies. Utilities, cloud providers, data centers are all both feeling the burden of our climate as well as very good targets for bad actors, considering what you will do if you have to live without one or many things, just as a main part of that business continuity planning as well.
Well, before we wrap up, what's the biggest takeaway you want organizations to remember as they plan for 2026?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much we can say and there's so much we can do. I think reports like this can really be a guiding light for our planning and preparedness. I would say awareness is our armor, right? If we have the awareness, if we have the information, we can really drive those conversations about how we will actually prepare, about how we will actually be impacted, about how we'll act in the event of one of these unfortunate incidents impacting our business. So I would say just that awareness being our armor, knowledge being our power is really that northern star for, I think, all of us in the space at this point. And that's going to help us be the most prepared that we can be.
Awareness is our armor. I love it. I don't know how your team puts together all this stuff, but it's truly amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Amazing to be here. Hopefully this is valuable to all of our listeners and to all the people that we support. I just think there's so much meat in this report. Highly recommend people digging into it.
Indeed. To download Alert Media's 2026 Threat Outlook Report, click the links in the episode description. You can also watch video highlights from this episode on Alert Media's YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, the industry's most intuitive emergency communication and threat intelligence solution. To learn more about how to protect your people and business during critical events, visit alertmedia.com. Until next time.